Please subscribe to OK Fair Enough with Sean and Charlie on iTunes and rate and review the show there. You can also stream and download every episode ever made at okfairenoughpodcast.podbean.com. We are also available on the Stitcher and Podbean apps. Enhanced episodes that include pictures are available on YouTube. Just search OK Fair Enough. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/okfairenough. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at okfairenoughpod. And contact us by email at okfairenoughpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks and enjoy the show. Welcome to OK Fair Enough with Sean and Charlie. I'm Charlie, and in this episode we discuss astronomy, or the alternate title, The Problem with Your Understanding Is. Sean said that to me several times. I learned I am nowhere near as good at analogies as I thought I was, and Sean figures out it is impossible for him to dumb himself down to my level. We argue over the intelligence levels of our listeners, and Sean discusses some really cool stuff about outer space, and about our solar system, the search for extraterrestrial life, water on Mars, Pluto, the dwarf planet, and then some other one, Eris, I think. I can't really... I'm not good at this. Please listen. We hope you learned something. I'm sorry if I fucked this up. Thanks, guys. Have you ever heard the Brian Regan bit about the science fair? The title is Cup of Dirt.
No.
Oh, dude. Okay. So Brian Regan's whole bit is like, he's like, don't you hate?
Are you recording?
Yeah.
Oh, my
don't
bad.
don't you hate the day of the science fair where you wake up and you realize you haven't done your project? You just wake up and go, oh no, and then blah 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 blah. But there's always that one kid whose dad has made a model of the solar system.
Yeah.
And the kids just scream, the big yellow one's the sun. That's my understanding of astronomy. The big yellow one's the sun. I can't believe I let you talk me into doing this episode.
Well, there is. No, we all
just called this Charlie Sounds Dumb for 30 minutes.
There is a lot of stuff going on recently in astronomy that is kind of big. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to kind of bring it up.
Yeah.
We've
recently found out the big yellow one's the sun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important.
Yes, it is.
the discovery of water on Mars.
Yeah, I want to talk to you more about that. So, discovered, like, water?
Well, so,
or fluid?
Well, we've always known that water used to be on the surface of Mars.
Well, we haven't always known.
Okay, we've known for a while.
Okay.
There we Sorry. Go.
Yeah.
The way I assume
George Washington did not know that Mars had water on it.
When I say
he probably assumed it
in
slaves.
The scientific community, when you say we've always known, it means we've known for the past 10 years.
Right on. Okay.
Not really, right. But that's basically
we've what always known Pluto's not a planet.
Well, Pluto is a planet. It's a dwarf planet. Well, I'll get to that in a minute.
It's a Peter Dinklage.
So they've noticed these. Basically, if you get rid of water on Earth, you have these alluvial plains. It's basically where the water drains out. Mm-hmm. It makes a particular...
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'm just thinking, like, I'm going to be pulling out Sly a lot sooner than I fucking thought. I didn't understand a word of what you just said. What's an alluvium?
Okay, see, basically, we can infer from the way that the dirt is shaped that water used to flow okay. in that area.
Yeah.
That's a better way to describe
just
it.
Just assume that me, talk to me and 75% of our listeners like we're six.
Okay. So the what they have actually found is... I don't know if I can do this.
I'm waiting on bated breath for you to say something.
Because
I can't be like, oh, hey, astronomy sounds a lot like ass trauma on me.
I'm trying to.
Okay, let's go back to water on Mars. Okay,
yeah,
so we always do. Okay, so what you're saying is we've always known for the last 10 years. Now, that based on the. I guess the way Mars is shaped and the little grooves and divots and fucking blah, 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 that there had to have been water there at some point.
Exactly.
Or so we assume based on our understanding of our own planet.
Exactly.
Okay. And now they're saying we have found water there.
It's not water like you would imagine on Earth. It's What I'm saying is...
Is it H2O?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't mean chemically. I meant it's not... We didn't find a lake or a river.
Right.
We basically found wet sand, essentially.
Oh.
but it does kind of prove that there is water, maybe not on the surface, but it's more than likely came up from underground. So the idea is, well, you got to remember, Mars at its warmest is at like negative 20 degrees Celsius, which is cold as fuck. It's like 0 degrees Fahrenheit, roughly. I don't know.
Oh, exactly. Really? Translate. That's it?
Well, yeah, because 32 degrees Fahrenheit would be 0 degrees Celsius.
Celsius. Oh, wow. So Mars isn't that goddamn cold.
But that's the warmest it gets.
Oh. So
it can get down to like
their bikini weather is much different than
ours. I mean, you're getting down at the coldest at like negative like 180 degrees. I mean, it's uninhabitable by humans by our standards.
Because what's interesting is that I think everybody always assumes that Mars is hot because it's red. But I read somewhere that like Mars itself isn't actually red to people like me. Not people like you.
No, okay.
All people right, like talking, me assume that, I always assume that Mars...
sorry, I had a stroke. It's fine.
Yeah. So basically, you know, Mars is hot because it's red.
No, but
it is a reddish brown.
But the Martian surface is not actually that red, I heard. I thought it was that because of like the... something in the atmosphere causes it to look red.
No, there's a high iron content in the soil, and it's oxidized into rust, which is a reddish color, reddish brown hue.
Really?
Yes.
Well, wouldn't you think, though, that if it oxidized into rust, we would naturally assume that would mean that there was water there?
Well, no, I mean...
Or what else can oxygen. Rust... Oh, oxygen is what...
Yeah, when water doesn't make metal rust. The it's oxygen the O in the water.
H2O.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm learning things. Yeah.
I mean, that's a chemistry thing that I could get into, but apparently that's a little bit too advanced at this point. So
this whole goddamn subject is too advanced for me. When do we talk about poop and porn? That's in my goddamn wheelhouse.
Well, it's funny you mentioned porn.
Oh, boy.
I could actually kind of almost put this together. So, okay, so we're trying to figure out ways to colonize Mars.
Sure.
So one of the big issues is reproduction.
Okay.
So one of the issues with zero gravity, it's hard to have sex in zero gravity. There's nothing to push against to get...
But no, you would pull.
But anytime you pull, you're going that way too.
Yeah, I know. That makes it sound pretty dope.
So, I mean, unless you're up against a wall, that's really the only
way.
Who
doesn't want a fucking bouncy house?
So what they've done is they've invented this suit that basically is a double person suit. So you're kind of stuck together, essentially.
Please tell me it looks like a horse. Please tell me it looks like a horse!
No, it basically looks like a jumpsuit for two people.
But
they were testing it on... there's this plane... That what they do
the vomit comet.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they simulate no gravity
by going through a series of parabolas, and on the way down, that's when you can simulate weightlessness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you know a little bit. Oh, that's not necessarily.
No, that's because I watched Apollo 13.
Okay.
And because I watched Jackass.
Okay.
Because they went on the vomit comet and vomited on it quite a bit.
Gotcha. Hold on. All right. Well, as far as colonization is, that's one of the issues.
Yeah.
The other issue is that Mars is uninhabitable.
Yeah, I think that would definitely kind of throw a wrench in the works.
You look at a place like Venus. Venus is covered by a thick layer of carbon dioxide. It's like 800 degrees. It's uninhabitable, and there's no way we could fix that, really.
Yeah.
With Mars, we could, in theory, create
a biocenter.
Exactly, that we could live in.
A biodome. If you will.
Pauly Shore and one of the Baldwin brothers. Yeah. Billy Baldwin, I believe.
Whichever one is like ultra religious now.
Yeah. But, and so the reason water is important is because obviously if we find water, then that's something we don't have to bring with us.
Oh, so we'd actually kind of like try to mine it, I guess you could say.
Or
are we going to have Luke Skywalker moisture farms? Oh, that's so dope.
Anyway.
Oh. We're gonna meet Darth Vader.
Now the thing about the water on Mars is they've determined that the chemical composition of the water would be poisonous. There is the substance known as it's not the water itself, it's what's in it.
Well, that's all water, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's something called a perchlorate.
Yeah.
It's essentially
isn't that where people get the force? That's metachlorate.
That's a metachlorate.
My bad.
But it's a type of salt that it's actually an ion of salt, but It just, you know what? I'm not even going to get into it. It's basically poisonous to humans.
Okay, great. There's poison in the water on Mars.
Essentially.
Okay.
So we would have to be able to remove that before we could use it. But
not if we send American Indians first.
But the idea is the that right there are underwater aquifers that we could tap into that could be pure water. There actually is water in the poles, but it's permanently frozen.
Really?
Excuse me. I might be misstating. There is a permanent ice cap on Mars that's either CO2 or water, and I'm trying to remember which one actually evaporates. CO2 actually evaporates at a lower temperature. So yeah, so I guess the ice caps are permanent water, and the CO2 actually melts. Anyway.
So it doesn't work like it does on our planet, where the further you go away from the poles, the more likely it is to melt? Like, what happens there?
No. I mean, they're at the poles where it's frozen.
Right, but why doesn't it melt? Like, the further south on the planet you go, or the further north that you go, if you're on the other on the other side of the pole.
I'm not understanding your question.
That's because I don't know anything about fucking astronomy. Well, Earth has frozen water at its poles.
Yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
As does Mars.
Yes.
Now, on our planet, the closer you get towards the equator, the warmer it gets, and the less, and you start seeing those polar caps melting and creating water. Now, you're saying that there's frozen water at the poles of Mars.
Oh, I understand your question.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
So I did it, guys!
What happens is because... Okay. In chemistry...
Sean's trying to figure out how to talk to a bunch of morons.
Okay.
It's not going well.
On Earth, we have a certain temperature and air pressure.
Okay. I've understood all of those words
okay.
so far.
So, you know, on Earth, we are at one atmospheric pressure, what it's considered. It's a certain amount of...
I didn't know we were at
weight
one.
It's a column. God damn it. I don't know how to explain this without using technical terminology. Okay. So, basically, there's not as much atmosphere on Mars.
Okay, there
so
we
there's
go.
There's less pressure. So, molecules react in a different way. So, water doesn't become liquid because there's not a high enough pressure. It actually will sublimate from a solid into a gas. It skips the liquid phase.
Really? Okay, see, that actually makes sense to me.
Yeah. That's why water
isn't... I'm very pleased with myself.
That's why they believe that if there is water on Mars, it has to be underground where the pressure is higher.
Okay.
And the temperature is also warmer.
Okay.
Slightly.
All right. So cool. We've learned we're learning about water on Mars. You wrote down so many notes for this, and I don't think that you even thought that I would be sitting there trying to understand how Mars works for 10 minutes.
Well, okay, so we'll go ahead and go on from Mars. We'll go to Pluto.
Okay,
that's another one. And
the
Peter
Dinklage's of planets.
Let me explain to people
it.
The reason why Pluto is no longer a planet.
It's the size, isn't it?
Partially. But the big importance of what is considered a planet is that that planet has cleared out its orbit of debris. So it has to be large enough to... Okay, so when the Earth goes around, if there's anything in its path, it's gonna take... The gravity will pull it in. Same with any other planet. Same with Jupiter. Same with every other planet. Well, there are other objects in the orbit of Pluto that are roughly the same size.
As
Pluto. Like, Pluto is not very big.
Yeah.
It's like the size of Texas.
Okay.
Which isn't small, but it isn't big either.
Hmm. Small-minded. No.
The reason it was declassified... See, okay, what happened was back...
So what you're saying is that Pluto couldn't really have a moon or something
well,
like that.
Well, it does,
that.
But or it's actually more in a dual... It's actually kind of in a...
like a binary orbit?
Exactly.
See, you didn't know I knew about that, did you? Binary orbits. Ha! Nobody thought I was pulling that shit out. That's what's up.
So, back in the 30s, when Pluto was discovered, there was... all the physics suggested that there was a ninth planet because of based on the motion of the bodies out there.
Okay.
So there was basically a competition to find said ninth planet. Well, when they found Pluto, they automatically said, okay, this is it. But they also realized that Pluto wasn't anywhere near big enough to create the gravitational effects that they were seeing to reinforce the idea that there was a planet.
So what is causing that?
All of the different bodies.
Don't they say that there's like a tenth celestial body in our solar system now, too, like besides Pluto, like further out or something?
Well, Eris is another dwarf planet that's actually roughly the same size as Pluto, maybe a little smaller, maybe a little bigger. They don't have the exact measurement of it, but...
Is it considered part of our solar system?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's just slightly farther out than Pluto.
Okay.
All of these objects beyond Neptune are part of what's called the... It's called the... Most people call it the Kuiper Belt, but it's actually pronounced like Kuiper.
It's like the Ozarks of the solar system.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, aliens on those rape their sisters. Few teeth, lots of mullets.
Oh, dude,
lots of space mullets.
This is completely off topic. When you mentioned the Ozarks, there was a movie with Jennifer Lawrence. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Winter's Bone.
That's it.
Haven't seen it.
That's actually a pretty good movie.
I want to check it out.
Yeah, anyway.
Anyways. So, Pluto is the Jennifer Lawrence looking for her father of the solar system.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Whatever helps your understanding.
I'm just glad that I'm able to add something to this.
Okay,
educate motherfuckers.
The reason I wanted to do this episode actually is kind of self-serving. My research that I've done on...
comets and shit.
Comets.
Yeah.
Which we... There was a comet... it was a 2013, it was a designation Comet Lemon, which it was named that because...
L-E-M-O-N?
L-E-M-M-O-N. It was actually the Lemon Survey.
Named after Jack Lemon?
Yes.
No. Okay.
There's a place called the Lemon Survey, I think, in Hawaii that actually was the first to spot it, so they got to name it.
And none of this involves Jack Lemon?
No. Okay. No Jack Lemon. I think Jack Lemon was dead by 2013, so...
Not in our hearts.
Touche. Touche.
You go on.
So, what was... Basically, what was done is there was a spectroscopy taken. Now, I know that's a big word, but basically...
That's like Greek food, right?
It's looking at... Okay, so you remember how I explained to you about how light moves in different wavelengths?
Yeah, I know that.
Okay, so what happens is when light is reflected off of a substance, it reflects at a different wavelength depending on the chemistry, the composition.
Right.
So we look at that...
I learned about this off of Cosmos.
Yes. We look at that to see what the comet is made of.
Right.
And so I was studying a particular molecule known as hydrogen cyanide. It's a fairly basic molecule.
I can kind of understand what it is.
HCN. Yeah. Hydrogen, a carbon, and a nitrogen atom. Mm-hmm. The significance of this particular atom, or excuse me, this particular molecule, is that if you take five of these molecules and add them together, they become it's like a cyanomethanamine or the name is crazy, so I'm not going to go into that. But it is one of the primary bases for proteins.
So you need that to make protein.
Exactly. That's what I'm kind
of... That's like the peanut butter in the peanut butter and jelly of protein.
That's
probably some bread in there.
So the reason comets are a great place to study solar chemistry is because of their long orbit. They don't come near the sun very often, so they have very minimal solar influence. So when a comet or an asteroid comes near the sun, you're fucking yawning.
No. I'm yawning because it's fucking midnight and I've been going all day. Please.
But if we were having fun, you wouldn't be yawning.
No. I probably would be.
Okay.
I'm having fun. I'm learning.
Okay. So
Jack Lemon, I'm gone.
So anytime something gets close to the sun, obviously it gets the solar radiation, and it gets torn apart, basically. So, like, if a comet actually...
Ruins the sample.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, the less
contaminates.
Exactly. So, the less that the comet is influenced by the sun, the more pristine. The more like it would be at formation. So, what comets allow us to do is look at the solar system around the time that it was forming. So back 5 billion,
oh wow,
7-8 billion years, or I don't remember the exact time.
Wait a minute, but the comet's tail, isn't that basically ice like burning off?
There's actually two tails for a comet. There's an ion tail, and then there's the dust tail.
And the dust tail is what I'm referring to.
Exactly.
But isn't the dust tail caused by getting close to the sun?
It is. So there, I'm not saying that it's no solar influence.
Right.
That's just minimal.
I mean, I don't mean to brag, but I have a degree in sociology, and I think I'm outsmarting you here. I think you're full of shit.
But the amount of mass that it loses is minimal compared to the actual size of the comet.
But you were studying the ion tail.
No, we part. Were actually studying the coma, which is the main mass.
The balls. Exactly. The rest of the coma is the scrotum. And this is
Although the
old man's scrotum.
We did find this molecule in the tail.
But, really?
Yeah. See, that was one of the parts of the of the. We were also testing the capabilities of this particular telescope that they used. But
finding this molecule, what did that prove?
Well, we pretty much
or
knew
lead
that
to,
we pretty much knew that the molecule was going to be there. It's more see, and then that's kind of the point.
What does this mean?
Exactly. That's kind of the point of this particular study is. Like I was talking about the creation of these complex acids, these proteins. That I said proteins. What I meant to say was actually acid. So okay, DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid.
The big yellow one's the sun. Go on. No, I'm with you. So I'm just fucking.
So the RNA and DNA, they're nucleic acids. Yeah. They are essential to the formation.
But you need
of life.
Acids to make protein.
That is correct.
Ha.
In a way. I don't feel like explaining it, but yes, we'll go with that.
just say yes.
So what we want, basically what we want to find out, we want to determine where life formed. That's the ultimate...
Where? You mean like where in the solar system it formed? Or
where just, it started in... Well, we also don't have a definitive line that says this is the beginning of life. So, but it has to... We're trying to understand the process that determines... The end. Yeah. Like we know the end. We know we know
the end is us.
Yeah. So we're trying to go through.
And
the
we
steps.
Know where we started.
Yeah.
But we don't know where really. Just generic life in general started. Because we could obviously just assume it's Earth.
Yeah.
Because that's what we have the most access to learn about, right?
But that doesn't necessarily. That's not necessarily correct.
Right.
Life could have been formed at least in a basic sense. On a comet
that may have hit
that came to Earth and was transported to Earth, it could. There's also a theory that something hit Mars, and that life might have formed on Mars and was actually ejected to Earth when something hit it. Because Mars, they believe, 3 billion years ago looked similar to Earth.
Really?
Yeah.
Like
large oceans, tropical climates. Like they don't have evidence for this. This is simply supposition at this point. But that's one of the reasons they want to go to
Did
Mars.
Ford and Chevy fuck up that fucking planet too?
No, Volkswagen.
Okay, you win. This episode, Sean wins the whole goddamn episode. Best joke, most informative, most confident.
So So that's basically the. That's the jizz of the particular project that we're working on.
And that's what I bring to the show.
And it kind of lends towards the whole, the idea. It's like if we can prove that life formed not on Earth, but actually in space, then that also increases the probability that other life formed in other galaxies or other solar systems.
Well, I think you kind of have to assume there is life in other galaxies.
That's the assumption, but until we prove it, we can't definitively say anything. And that's the thing about science. We can assume.
But that just makes an ass out of you and me.
Sure.
Well, I mean, really, that's really the case here. I mean, that's the truth.
Absolutely. So, and there's another thing that I wanted to bring up. This was actually what I wanted to do for the long time. Like, when I first wanted to get into astronomy, are you familiar with SETI? SETI. It stands for the Search for Extraterrestrial Life.
Okay.
Or Intelligence, actually.
Oh, the Jodie Foster in Contact of the world.
If that helps you understand what I'm talking about, sure.
I'm trying to help anybody understand what the fuck we're talking about. At a certain point, I want to have a Star Trek moment. It's like, oh, you mean like inflating a balloon? But that moment hasn't fucking happened yet.
I feel like you're underselling our listeners a lot more than you should be.
I don't think I am. I don't think I am.
Okay.
Some of them are probably sitting, I guarantee you there are probably at least 3 or 4 out there right now going like, Sean doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. You're wrong. But in any event,
I might not be correct in everything I say.
And I think a lot of listeners out there are sitting there just going like, oh, poor Charlie. Why are you going to talk about farts? It's not going to happen. But no, I mean, for me, the only time I ever even began to understand anything about astronomy and outer space and physics and science was because of fucking Cosmos.
Yeah.
Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's the motherfucking man.
Yeah.
The motherfucker was a Harvard wrestler. Did you see that dude back in his day in his prime?
Mm-hmm.
I'd fuck him. I'd die.
Yeah, he's definitely, he's helped bring science to a little bit more mainstream.
Well,
and I think it's growing. You know, like this is the age of the nerd.
Yes,
with computers, and then you know.
But you know, one thing that Neil deGrasse Tyson did for me that really helped. One thing that you really struggle with, my friend, is he's able to dumb it down enough so I can actually understand.
That's always been my problem.
Yeah,
if I understand something, like, and that's the thing. Like, if I understand something to the point where I can explain it in a particular way, it's hard for me to then go back and explain it. I've never been good at teaching people. And that's always been one
that's
of my...
That's all right. I've never been good at learning. You shouldn't beat yourself up. That's all right.
I'm also used to talking to people who are already in my field about my subject, so it's a lot easier to talk to them.
It's like me talking to somebody about farts.
Also, a lot of times you can't... When you're talking about very specific knowledge, you can't use other words because there really is no other word to describe it. Like,
well, yeah, yeah.
Like, there's nothing more basic than, unless I use like an analogy, which I'm not good at analogies.
And the problem is that I am good at analogies, but I don't understand anything you're saying. So I seriously was trying to do an analogy with everything you said, and nothing was correct.
I will admit that Neil deGrasse Tyson does a great job of dumbing stuff.
He does. He makes it to where like he does not make me feel smart.
Yeah.
But he makes me feel like I'm learning something.
Fair enough. That's cool.
Now, I did have questions for you about the multiverse theory, which is now when it was first introduced. I want it was largely ridiculed. I know that much. Where it's like there's only one.
I mean, there's still people that ridicule that the Earth is round. So,
those people are called Charlies. Yeah. No, those people are idiots. Don't listen to them. I think it's pretty much proven.
I don't listen to anybody.
That's true. Although you did humor me when I told you that I believed that the Earth was shaped like a Tetris piece.
When did you say that?
I never said that. That was a joke.
That's a horrible joke.
It was. I wish we had drum set so I could do a rim shot when you know them. But multiverse theory, to my knowledge, has gained a lot more acceptance in recent years. Now, here's the question that I have for you, though. Is it even remotely theoretically possible, if there are multiple universes, to move from one to the other?
I'm not a physicist.
Oh,
I suck at physics. That's one of the reasons why I'm just an astronomy major. It's not that I couldn't do it. It's that I didn't have enough of it when I was younger.
Yeah.
To when I came to UVA, they expected to have much more of a base, and I just was too far behind to catch up when I needed to.
So now you say the big yellow one's the sun.
Astronomy, it's easier to understand. Like, basic physics I got. That's always been easy. When you start getting into stuff about, like, the multiverse or understanding the expansion of the universe, that's a lot more...
You're better at reading the map than making the map. Kind
sure,
of.
We
you're
can go with that.
Yeah,
we can go with that.
Okay.
I mean,
you're a navigator, not a cartographer.
Wouldn't go with that. That's a good analogy.
See, I'm good at analogies. No, I'm okay, Adam. I think one reason why I never really got into astronomy and why I still struggle with it now is that it has this strange way of making your existence seem like a goddamn miracle while simultaneously feeling like you are totally and completely insignificant in the universe.
Both of those statements are incredibly true.
Yeah. I mean, it's like we shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
The fact that we're here is nuts.
Yeah.
And that's really all I've got to this one. I even wrote in my notes, hey, that's all I got. The subject is not in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
You started talking about...
I was just going to...
Rob Zombie and Wes Craven. No. Wrong notes.
That's horror movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I had mentioned the search for extraterrestrial life, intelligence. But the reason I wanted to mention
life or intelligence?
That's what SETI stands for.
Okay,
search
so
for extraterrestrial intelligence. Because what we can currently search for from a far distance is any kind of like radio waves or something that would be distinguished as a civilization. We can't search for probiotic molecules in another galaxy.
Question for that. I mean, if we are searching for, say, radio waves, does that mean, like, a radio wave, are we assuming that intelligent life has developed roughly the same kind of technology we have? Or is a radio or sound wave a pretty uniform thing? Like, once you figure out a device to make this, is it pretty much uniform so far as the universe is concerned? Or...
The problem I think you're having is understanding what a radio wave is.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because a radio wave and a sound wave are two complete... A sound wave is simply... it's basically the movement of atoms within a medium.
Okay.
So the propagation of... So that's different than... Like, a radio wave is actually light.
And just so you know, we should title this episode, "The Problem With Your Understanding Is..." That should be the title of this episode. Go on.
So the electromagnetic spectrum is... Yes. You have X-ray...
Autistic.
So gamma ray, X-ray, UV, visible light...
Original famous rays.
God damn you.
I'm fucking around. All right. Ultraviolet light.
Then radio waves are your longest rate, is the wave that has the longest peak to peak.
Okay.
So it's just a very low intensity photon, essentially.
Okay.
But that's built into our understanding of how the universe works. So unless the other civilization has developed something that is beyond our comprehension,
Then we wouldn't be able to
detect it anyway.
Right.
So what we're searching for is stuff that we understand that we could...
That has reached our level of technology or less.
Yeah. So that's... I mean, at the point... That's really all we have to go on. We can't go on anything outside of our spectrum of our understanding.
Yeah. Well, Neil deGrasse Tyson talks about it in terms of when we're trying to figure out the idea of life on other planets, it's on another planet that may not have necessarily... liquefied H2O, it might have liquefied methane.
Yep.
And as a result, if evolution is real, which we know that it is, basically, that if life was able to propagate from liquefied methane, that life would take on some kind of form that we could not possibly comprehend.
Yeah.
We couldn't draw it. We couldn't...
Well, all life that we're...
Star Trek definitely didn't get it right.
Yeah. Well, all life that we believe that all life is carbon-based. And the idea is that there's a possibility that life could have also formed to be silicon-based.
Right.
But
yeah.
Then you talk to a chemist and they're like, that's ridiculous. It doesn't make sense.
Why?
It has to do with the way that... See, the reason carbon is kind of a perfect perfect atom. Yeah,
yeah, it's kind of the slot of the periodic table of elements. It's like it bonds to everything.
For the most part, yeah, that is true.
Okay,
the way the molecular structure or the atomic structure of carbon is, it is very good with bonding to itself, and that's why you get these long chains of carbon molecules, like graphene. Anyway,
yeah.
So it allows for complex systems.
You getting wet, ladies?
When you have the idea for a silicon based life is the problem. At least for my chemistry teacher, the reason he says that it's not possible is because it doesn't have that capability to build these long complex chains.
But does anything in the periodic table have anything that can even come close to doing what carbon does in that situation?
Not really.
No.
Yeah. For our understanding of chemistry, no.
Okay.
So. We're probably a long way off of being able to ever prove. Like, and that's my problem with a lot of studies where they try to. I think they're looking a little bit too big. I think we need to focus a little bit more close to home, something we can actually attain at the point. So, like,
something within our own solar system.
Yeah, that's why I like where I'm at, the being able to determine just within our solar system kind of what happened, and then I think we can take that and extrapolate it out.
And apply it to other solar systems as we find them.
Yeah.
Is that your girl calling?
Yeah.
You have to go pick her up?
Yeah.
We should just end the episode?
Probably.
Okay, we'll suck your dick first, okay? Because you're so smart. I'm hoping some of that cum will make me... Just stop laughing! I'm trying to concentrate here. Well, that's the show. Thank you very much for listening. And if you learned something, you're welcome. And if you didn't, I'm sorry. My bad. Please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/okfairenough. Follow us on Twitter at okfairenoughpod and contact us by email at okfairenoughpodcast@gmail.com. Please subscribe to OK Fair Enough with Sean and Charlie on iTunes and please rate and review us there. And you can also stream and download every episode ever made of the show at okfairenoughpodcast.podbean.com. We are also available on the Stitcher and Podbean apps and we do have a few enhanced episodes that include pictures available on YouTube. Just search OK Fair Enough. And like always, guys, as long as you keep listening to them, we'll keep making them.
Thanks. Talk to you next time.
I think the worst day that was the day the science project was due. Waking up that morning, that was fun, huh? Yeah. Your head had pop off your pillow. Oh, no. That's due today. I had 9 months to work on it. I did nothing. I have a cardboard box. A boxing. And you'd show up, you're scared because you don't have anything good, and you find out all the other kids, their parents made theirs for them. I hated that, you know? They're backing them in on flatbed trucks. One kid with a volcano. He didn't know how to zip up his own pants, but he built a volcano. He had to swing that. I don't know what to do for my project, so I brought in a paper cup filled with dirt, just hoping she'd know I'm an idiot and just walk right on past me. Just as long as I was holding something. You know. What do you have there, Brian? Oh, it's a cup of dirt. Just put an F on there and let me go home. Well, explain it. Well, it's a cup with dirt in it. I call it cup of dirt. You should move on now. You should go ahead and move on. Head on down the line there. So she went to this one kid. There was a kid in my class. He made the same solar system like 19 years in a row, you know? Bunch of styrofoam balls held together with coat hangers. Hey, you're breaking some new ground there, Copernicus. He's going, the big yellow one's the sun. The yellow one is the sun. Okay, all right, what are these other planets? The big yellow one is the sun. All right, calm down. All right!